program. There's a glitch. There's not. Trust me, there's not a glitch. Every time they're seeing a new aspect, a new unfolding of the Lord. And you know what? They've done that forever and they're going to do it forever. Or they've done it for a long time and they're going to do it forever. And every time there's this new aspect, holy, they're, whoa. You see these people that go under the power of God and they're blown away. These angels, every time, they're lucky. If there was such thing as luck, they're lucky. But over and over and over, and my encouragement and my challenge and my point is just to experience an unfolding of the Lord this morning. Just take and set aside everything. We're here right now, so let's be here right now. Don't worry about after. Don't worry about before. Frustrations, angers, happiness, the roller coaster of life, untether, release it. Release it. It's gone. In Jesus' name, let's just open our hearts and close our eyes. In Jesus' name, just say with me, we release the cares of this life. Just say with me, we release the cares. I release the cares of this life. I am here to enjoy and worship my Lord and my Savior, my best friend, my Creator. I am here to enjoy you and to be enjoyed by you. And everything else right now, nothing else matters. Nothing else holds any importance in my heart of hearts. You know that no matter what you've done or where you've been, that you can come into the presence of the Lord, filthy as can be, and He will make you clean and pure as snow. If you just step into His presence, don't get caught up in what you've done and where you've been. Just walk, just step by faith right now. Take a step forward, everybody. Just take one step forward. Even a half a step. Just take a step forward and step in to the presence of God. Filthy, dirty, it doesn't matter. Just step in and say, here I am, God. Right now, I am untethered from everything else, and I am attached to you, and my heart is yours. Let's worship our Lord this morning.
I was made for love, I was made for this. I was made for love, I was made for. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Holy is the Lord God.
You deserve it all. As I share this, I want you to think of where you're at now, in your brokenness, in your emptiness, in your joy, in your completeness in Him. He does deserve it all. The Lord deserves it all. For about 3.5 weeks now, I've been struggling with a medical situation, and they've treated me for different things that have similar symptoms. And at the last week, I worked 7 hours of 40. I knew I was getting confused. I knew I wasn't thinking right. I knew I was weak. But I kept feeling and leaning into the Lord and begging the Lord for favor, because I knew that everything that the doctor was doing was the right steps. But my spirit knew more. So the doctor told me a week ago Thursday, if you're not better, I want you to go in for ultrasound on Tuesday. So I had the ultrasound, and they said, well, we'll let your doctor know on Thursday. But my heart and my spirit just kept gnawing on me. And I called at 4:30 to Valley Imaging. And they said, we just have a wet read. We can't tell you anything, but your doctor knows. I thought, okay, that's protocol. But it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right. So I said something to Ken, and then I thought, I'm going to call my doctor, because she would have been calling me. And so around 5, I called and left a message, and at 5 to 6, I got a phone call from her. Now, this is after I had slept probably 4 or 5 times, 2 or 3 hours all day long. And she said, I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to hear this, and I don't want you wasting time. She said, the results show that you're going in renal failure. You need to get to the hospital now. They will do a CAT scan and probably surgery because there's a blockage. She said, don't waste any time. Get there now. And she thanked me for calling her because she hadn't gotten the report. Had I not called, that was favor from the Lord. That was mighty favor from the Lord. It wasn't the nurse in me. It was the Holy Spirit in me.
Yes.
And me fighting because I knew God wanted more. So Ken came in. Thank God I didn't have to go out. Ken came in and I said, we need to go to the hospital now. Which, of course, is probably not the most gentle way, but she said, don't fool around. So we got there, and they triage you. And so they took me back right away. And they started the IV. They did the CAT scan. The doctor was concerned, and on and on and on and on. And it takes an hour for the radiologist to get the studies done completely. And they gave me some morphine. And that should have knocked me out. But only part of my body was numb. Only part of me. And the Lord kept working on me and working on me. And then the doctor came in about an hour and 15 minutes, I don't know. And Pastor had been there, and he had prayed with me. In fact, I asked if we could pray before we went down for the CAT scan. And the young lady whispered to me when we were in the room, she said, I haven't been around people who have prayed much in a long time. Thank you for asking for prayer. So by the time was up and the doctor came in, he said, "Why are you here? Who sent you here? There is nothing wrong." Yeah. There was evidence, but certainly not renal failure. And that's a God that loves me. But I'm telling you, that's a God that loves all of us. That is a God that's touching you and healing you and meeting you at every need that you have. You hang on to that. You get joy in your life. You find peace in your soul. And I am saying, all of us that struggle in our relationships with the Lord wants us to be one with Him. He wants the intimacy. He wants us to be in love with Him. He wants us to be known as His daughter or His son. He wants to fill us up daily, moment by moment if necessary. He wants that intimacy that a father has with a daughter. And if your father didn't have it with you, you've got a heavenly Father that has it for you. So I am saying healing is for now. Healing is for every moment of the day. Just reach to your Father and ask Him for favor. Ask Him for blessing. And thank Him for the love and the compassion and the understanding and the stripes that He bore and the death that He suffered for us. Joy. Joy in the morning. Joy. Every moment of our day, we need to find joy. Find joy. Even in the times that there's trouble, there's joy and there's God's love. Expect healing. Expect healing. Claim healing. Because we give our God the highest praise that He deserves. That He deserves. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that what man said was a lie, what you say is real. It is real. It is real. How well is my soul? How well is my soul?
You. Thank you. guys be okay at doing an exercise with me? As Glenn brings us up one more time, hallelujah, holy are you, that we would just lift our hands. And if you sing out, that's great, but just sing with your being. The word says that we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm still trying to learn what that means. So let your spirit, let the entire being of who you are cry out to God as we sing this. Again, if you use your voice, that's great, but make it your all. And let's just join in with heaven right now, with that entire host of thousands and ten thousands times ten thousands, as the Bible talks about, worshiping him, giving him praise and honor. And see, the thing is that you've got one up on them, because you can't see him in your natural eyes. They can. And as you by faith step out and you say, God, I don't see you, but I know you're there. And I'm going to give you the praise and the adoration and the same kind of devotion that they're giving you right now. I'm going to give it with my entire being. And as you do that, as you draw close to him, he draws close to you. And as he draws close to you, he changes you. He transforms you. He makes you into a new creation. He makes you into the son and daughter that he's created you to be. He metamorphosizes you. You turned into something completely different than what you are. You're not just a little bit tweaked. You're transformed. So Glenn, roll us around one more time in that. Just full.
Hallelujah. 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 Holy are you.
Take a moment and go greet somebody and Give them a hug if they're so inclined or if you're so inclined. Praise the Lord.
Hello. Hi. Let's make sure it works.
Okay, hi.
Good morning, everyone. I just have a couple announcements I want to make. The first thing is I just want to remind everyone that after service today, in the back, we have the baskets that we're going to be raffling off next Sunday after service. The tickets are $2 each. And all the proceeds from that is going to go to a home where four girls live that have been brought out of human trafficking. So we can bless them with some things, which is amazing and awesome to be able to get involved in their life and to pour into them. And
hey, can you guys keep it down with the hugging, please?
There's a lot of back slapping and...
This is church, okay?
So I just want to remind everyone, so we're doing that after service, and then before service, is it next Sunday, or just after service next Sunday, and then we'll raffle it off. So, okay, and then also the women's conference is coming up, which is always a fun time. I'm hoping I can go, we'll see, and it's April 17th and 18th. And the price is $70 a person, and that includes the conference, the hotel, and gas. So if you want to bring some extra money, because we always sometimes go shopping and, of course, eat and all that fun stuff. But at the hotel, they do have continental breakfasts. And then at church, they do have snacks in the evening after the service. And then in the morning, they have more snacks, breakfast, I mean, all that stuff, so you don't go hungry at all. So if you would like to go, come see Pastor Gay so you can get signed up, and she will start collecting the money next Sunday. So all you women should go. It's a fun time. You know, it's time to get to know one another, too, because you're stuck in a car with each other for quite a few hours, sleeping in the same bed, possibly. So you really get to know each other on a personal level. So... it's a fun time, though. So that's all I have.
That's it?
That's it.
Wait a minute. What are you doing? You're leaving me up here alone. Yeah, you said, come stand up here with me. I'm like, you want to stand up here? You just, no, stand up here. And we're... That's cold. That's cold. You're lucky. You're lucky we're married for life, S.A. Hans. All right. So, well, let's see. So we didn't have work day yesterday. Nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. So... besides Rose, nobody else showed up. But before I talk about that, I have to do two things. Have you guys noticed Pastor Mike on the new instrument up here? Have you? Has anybody noticed it? Can you have it unplugged? I wanted you to play. Can you just play a little note real quick? What? Yeah. I just want you guys to hear it because it really makes a big difference. And it's just another, you know, it complements everything else that we have going up there. And, you know, sometimes if it's so subtle, you may not pick up on it. But I just want you all to hear it just for a moment here. Well, while he's getting that ready, let's sing him happy birthday. Today is his birthday. Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor Mike. Happy birthday to you. That's what I think like angels sound like in heaven, you know? I mean, you hear that? Isn't that beautiful? Woo! Yeah, I think that's great. So I just wanted everybody to hear that so that when, you know, because you have all the other instruments going, but that really makes a big difference. So we appreciate that. As we do appreciate Glenn and Belle and everybody else, everybody plays a part. See, we're a family. Glenn has been rocking it, brother. You've been killing it, man, and it is awesome. And I really enjoy watching you grow, you know? Yeah, I really do, as well as Belle, everybody that comes to this church, whether it be cleaning or worship, because, I mean, they really help us, right, enter in. I mean, it's very helpful to have people that know what they're doing and make it look so easy. Well, that applies to every aspect, even Saturday work days, you know? Come on, I prepped this one all week. But it's true. Because if we all think just Pastor Mike or Rose or whoever is just going to come and do it all, and we just, I mean, I get it, we're busy, but I'm just saying it's helpful. Everybody plays an important role, and don't think there's something too small or too big. We all play an important role as a family. So, yes, I'm going to hand this out, and yes, there'll probably be one next week for something else, and the next week for something else. Nursery, all you ladies, what a blessing. Some of you, I think, don't even have kids, but yet you pour into that. That's awesome. I love that. Okay, we are a family. We can't look to each other like, man, I hope he's going to do it. Man, I hope she's going to do it. We all have to do it. It's our job. It's our responsibility. It's our privilege. As Christians, children of God, okay? No, listen, if you're not available and it's a stretch, this ain't a guilt trip. This is just real life. Don't just, you know what I'm saying? Just do it if you can and do it good. That's all. Everybody contributes. I have an old friend, used to pastor here. He would say, many hands make light work, okay? That goes across the board. So, we got to hear that. We can sing happy birthday. Clipboard. Children, please come up. We save the best for last. Children, childs, come hither. Cometh hither. No. No. Okay. Hey, how are you? All right. Me too. Thanks. Anyone else? All right. Okay. Well, what do we do now? I really like your hair. It's really beautiful, okay? Just so you know, okay? Okay, you're right. We're going to pray. So let us pray together. And we just open a window of blessing from heaven, from the hand of God on these children. And we understand that anointing is with them and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is with them. And as we just reach and extend our hands, we pray, God, your very hand. Lord, we're doing it as we are one with you. We are extending our hands as though you are extending your hand for them to be touched and blessed. Angels of God, protect their hearts and their minds. And Holy Spirit, cause them to grow in tremendous proportions according to your will for their life. Let us learn off of them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, passing it on to the birthday boy.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, it was talking to Pastor Gay yesterday, and I said, I think she said,
Do you have? No, I know it's Friday. Friday we had our date day, and we went to. Oh, thank you. We went to. Sorry, breakfast, wasn't it? Yeah, breakfast. And she was telling me what she had shared with the previous day with the ladies, and it was really, really good. And she goes, I need to share that sometime. I said, well, how about this Sunday? She goes, oh, no, no, no. She always does that. No, no, no. Usually if she says something, it's brewing in there. And so I'm really excited to hear how she's going to bring all this together. I've heard certain parts. She's going, pray for me. Well, come on up, hon. I'm going to pray for you, okay? Father, I just thank you, Lord, for, Lord, your gift, God, your gift, Lord, that you've given to this body, Lord, and I thank you for the word that's in her today, and Lord, we just now release, Lord, your grace and your anointing and your empowerment, Lord, to just be able to share this word, Lord, so that our hearts, Lord, are changed, Lord, so that we realize, Lord, the destiny and the purpose and the plan that you have for us as your people. And I just bless her now in Jesus' name. I thank you for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for her life. Thank you, Lord, for her dedication and her heart of servanthood towards you. And, Lord, I pray that you would bless her today, Lord, as she blesses us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. So, I think on Friday I went to the doctor because I have issues with high blood pressure, and they changed my blood pressure medication, so now I'm a little dizzy. Come by it naturally now, but if you guys will just be praying for me, I appreciate it, because I feel like the enemy doesn't want this word out there. You know what I mean? Honey, can you open this for me real quick before you sit down? Okay. So, Jesse, the title of this message is I'm Sick of Me. Okay? And I hope I can bring it around for you guys on that title. So if you'll turn with me to John 3, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There you have it. I think it's been a while since I preached, and I say that word lightly, but I'm a teacher normally, so we'll see how this goes, because preaching, I think yelling is sometimes involved, and I don't do that very often, but we'll see. We'll see what the Lord has in store. So in John 3, most of you guys know that this is the famous chapter where Nicodemus is coming to the Lord, and he's talking to the Lord about being born again, and, you know, how do I do that, and is that even possible, and of course it's possible, and obviously it's by the Spirit, but I'm going to be talking more toward the end of the chapter, and it's after Nicodemus, and it seems to take a scene change. It goes from him speaking to Nicodemus to all of a sudden now they're in a Galilean community. And so he's gone from Nicodemus to this portion of scripture. And I find it very interesting that it goes from Jesus ministering one-on-one to him ministering to us all. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to start actually in... let's see. Where do I want to start? I think I want to start at 22, and it's John the Baptist. It says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples, I'm in the New King James Version, by the way. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, I want to just say that if you just go to the next chapter in verse 2 of 4, it actually says Jesus actually wasn't doing the baptizing, but the disciples were doing the baptizing. And I find that very interesting, and I have a little bit of a take on that in that as we get down into these scriptures, it's going to show where John was baptizing in one area with his disciples, and Jesus was in another area baptizing with his disciples. And so I think that Jesus wasn't baptizing with his disciples because I think that he didn't want these people to say, ooh, I got baptized by Jesus, instead of, ooh, I got baptized by John. Do you see what I'm saying? So I think the reason he wasn't actually doing the actual dunk was because he didn't want people to be able to get a prideful spirit, because he does not like pride. But anyway, that was just my little take on that, and that's a side note. So. Anyway, and remained with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem or whatever however you want to say that, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. So we're talking about, all of a sudden we're talking about baptizing, now we're talking about purification. And I find it very interesting that this Jew is the one that's bringing up the issues again about purification. And purification is, well, let's just get into a little bit more, and then maybe I can bring my thought together on that one. But anyway, so 26, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he's baptizing, and they're all coming to him. So John's disciples are saying, hey, what's the deal? We've been doing this for a long time. Now all of a sudden, this Messiah you talked about, now he's over there baptizing, and instead of people coming to us, they're going to him. That's not fair. We've been doing this a lot longer. So they're all up in arms about, you know, having issues about who's baptizing who. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. That is a powerful scripture. Powerful. 28. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. And verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now, what I want you guys to notice in 25 is that with this debate going on about ceremonial cleansing or purification, is that the Jews are trying to bring up, you know, so what? Is John baptizing and it's not so good? So now they have to go over here and be baptized where it's a little bit better because it's the Messiah, it's Jesus doing it. So, like, whose is the one that takes? See what I'm saying? But then it says in 26, it says that in 27 it says a man can receive nothing unless it's given to him from heaven. So John's received this from heaven, so it doesn't really matter if they get baptized over here with John or they get baptized with Jesus, everybody's pure. But here's this little Jew guy, he's trying to throw the wrench into the middle of the pond and cause ripples because he wants people to start questioning about their purification during baptism. Make sense so far? Okay, so now in verse 28... John is telling these guys, it doesn't matter who baptizes. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the Christ. In verse 28, in verse 29, I'm not the bridegroom. He is. Verse 30, he must increase. I must decrease. John is saying right here, I'm on my way down. He needs to be on his way up. And you guys don't need to be putting any kind of, you know, bumps in the road or anything to make it not happen. That's what he's telling his own disciples, that he's told this to a zillion times already before. They're just not getting the clue. Okay, so in verse 29, let's read 29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus, right? But the friend of the bridegroom, that would be John, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. How many of us lately have rejoiced because of the bridegroom's voice? Like, are we hearing from God or aren't we? It's like, are we close enough to him to hear him? Are we intimate enough to hear him? It's like, I'm not going to say it's age, but Mike will be in another room and a door will be shut and I'll be getting ready and he'll start talking and I know he's talking to me, but I can't understand a word he's saying, and it's very frustrating to me. And the reason it's frustrating to me is because I don't want to admit that it might be getting a little bit older there and the hearing is a little bit not so in tune. But he starts talking, and this is always what I say. He can attest to this. I know you're talking to me, but I can't understand a word you're saying. How many of us really say that about the Lord? We know he's talking to us, but we can't understand a word he's saying. And the only reason is because we may have shut doors in between, or we may have, you know, allowed too much distance between who's talking and who's listening. How close are you? What doors have you shut that you can't really hear him? Do you see what I'm saying? Okay, so John, put yourself in there. He stands and he hears him. He hears Jesus and he knows, I have to be further down so that he can be further up. And you know what? I think sometimes we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that he needs to be greater in us than we are in ourselves. We don't want to hear that because he may ask too much of us, or he may ask us to give up something that means a lot to us, that we find value in, that may not be valuable to him at all. At the very end of that verse 29, therefore this joy of mine is fulfilled. John is saying, I'm done. I've done what I came to do. This is who you need to listen to. This is who you need to go to. This is who you need to hear. It doesn't sound like John has a whole lot to be joyful about. Like in our natural man, we like it when we're promoted. We like it when people come to hear us. We like it when people pay attention to us. But John is saying, no more. Don't pay attention to me. He's the one you need to pay attention to. He's the one that needs to have your ear. He's the one that needs to be promoted, not me. But all of us, you know, we like people to pay attention to us. What are they seeing in us? Is it Jesus? Sometimes for me, I can say, probably not. I've got this one person in my life. I work with her at work. And that girl has the pointiest end on a thorn that you ever did feel. And she knows how to push it right in. And like she does, she just knows how to push me. And I've never had the experience of working with somebody quite like that before. But you know what? I've said it before, and probably the reason I said it is probably why she's getting to me even more. I know God sent her in my life for a purpose. What, you going to be okay with that, sister? You going to be okay with that girl talking to you like she does? Not showing you any respect? Are you okay with that? And then it digs a little bit deeper. But God is giving her into my life for a purpose. And there are a lot of things in our lives right now that God's placing there, not to make us mad and not to get us all up in arms, but to strengthen us, to hone our godly skills, to make us who he's called us to be. And that may look like a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but I know for me, it's the only bottom line is for the very simple reason, I need him to be my all in all. And I don't need to be nothing, anything, whatever the grammar part is in there. But I don't need to be anything. He needs to be everything. Okay, so John was happy, even though it didn't appear in the natural, he had a whole lot to be happy about. Like his purpose was being fulfilled. It was being done. And he was joyful. And that's like that's a weird kind of joy. But that's what he's called us to, is a weird kind of joy. And I don't find it a coincidence. That's what Barb was speaking about, joy. And John was joyous. He was joyous in the middle of all of this, even though he was on his way out. Now, he didn't obviously know 6 months later he was going to be beheaded because a girl asked for his head on the platter. But he knew that he was on his way out. He didn't know how that was going to end, which wasn't probably very pretty, but he was on his way out, and he knew it. And he was okay with that. He was happy about that. He had no problem with that. How many times has God put something in your life that is like, seriously? It's like, really? You're putting that there, and I'm supposed to do what with it? Like, we question it all the time, and we tend to not look at it as even being from God. Oh, that had to be the enemy. No, not always. And if we're close enough with no shut doors in between and we hear his voice, we'll know it's from him. There will be no question about it. Here's this person who's a little bit thorny, and she's pushing into me. And even though it's really irritating, I know it's from God. I know it's from God. I know it's because he wants me to be a better people person than I am. He wants me to be a better people person than I am in here. I can act all like the Sunday morning, go to church, meeting gal, happy to see ya, smile, smile. But it's in here. That's the part he wants changed. That's the part that needs to be rearranged and needs to be polished and needs to be refined. There, what I think. Not how I am or want other people to think I am, but it's how I really am in here, deep in here. Okay, so the attitude that John has in this passage of Scripture is not the attitude of today. It's not who we have made ourselves to be. David, could you put that first thing up there for me? This is me. It's all about me. Didn't I say I'm sick of me? Yeah. The next one, David. My spouse is in my little circle. I kind of like him. It's his birthday today. He's a pretty nice guy. He's pretty handy to have around. Next one. How about work? Work's in my circle. I do that. I work a lot. I work too much for a 50-something-year-old woman, but I do anyway. What about the next one? Ooh, money. Ouch. We like money. Money makes the world go round. That's what they say. That's what they sing. Must be true. But, you know, don't go messing with the money thing. How about our kids? Is that the next one up there, kids? I have a friend who loves her grandbabies so much she lets them sleep on her head. That would be Alvine Snodgrass. And Alvine loves her grandkids. Like, she works all week long, and then she has them in the evening time and on the weekends. I'm like, girl, I don't know how you do that. I've been raising kids for 31 years, and I'm done with kids. I like them to come, but I like them to go home, too. You know what I'm saying? Am I preaching it or what? Alvine is of a different color and a different make. She's a good grandma. Oh, speaking of grandma, Stephen and Sarah had their baby this morning. Woo! So that's our newest grandbaby, Reagan. She arrived this morning. She's beautiful. Of course she is. She's just beautiful. So anyway, so y'all be praying for them. Life has changed as they know it. So now that makes 6 grandbabies, but I do not let them sleep on my head, and I do not let them come every evening. And on the weekends, I am not that kind of grandma. I'm so sorry. I'm fun, but I'm not that fun. Let's put the last one up there. God is in my circle. Now, this is the way we Christians are. We have all these things, but this is the way it's supposed to be. This is God. He is the circle. Go ahead, David. And then can you show them me? Now, that circle before that had all those things in there is actually in that little black dot. Now, let me just tell you this, because sorry, girls that went to cell group, you kind of heard this the other day, but this is the way the Muslims believe. It's not their belief is in something that's wrong, but the way that they do it is right. And Christians were the ones before that. This should be us. This should be the way we are. And we're not. Does everybody agree with that? So the Muslims do have some of it right when they believe that God is everything and they're just a very small part of it. They believe that they're... What is it that they believe in? I can't remember. I try not to. Muhammad? Is that it? Buddha? No, it's not Muhammad. Muhammad. So Muhammad is everything and they're just a teeny tiny little part of that. So who's... Allah, that's it. Okay. See, I love Jesus. Try not to think of all the other things that. Yeah. Exactly. However, the point is the way they go about it is right, because they are birthed into believing that their God is everything, and they are just a very small part of it. And that's the way we need to be. That is the way we need to be. David, you can pop that last thing up. So the attitude is not the basis of joy for anybody, this attitude that John showed, because that's just radical crazy people that are Christians that believe that way. Like, oh, joy, yay, joy. I lost my job today. Joy, yay, joy. Got a bad diagnosis today. Joy, yay, joy. My kids don't like me. I mean, you know, the radical Christian believes that, you know, it's, I can be joyful in hard times. And that's the way John was. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be, you guys, this is about him. I'm sick of me. I'm sick of me. And you know what? It's not about me, because the day that I'm planted in the ground, the next day will come. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about being so close to him that you don't care what others think of you being that close to him. It comes to you being so close to him that nothing else matters but you being that close to him. It means you being so close to him that you're willing to be way down there or not at all, and he is everything. He is the increase, and we are the decrease. That's what it's supposed to be like. And John had it right, and he was joyful at the end of it. He was joyful at the end. I mean, how many dudes can sing in prison? The dude was happy. He was joyful in Jesus, guys. See, that's the whole part. This has to be in Jesus. You know, I find it ironic, I guess. I don't know if that's the word I want to use or not. But you know, Easter's next week. And I don't want to say we have another shot at it, but he gives us a shot every morning, you know, because his mercy's new today, just like it was yesterday, just like it is going to be tomorrow. His mercy's new. But I'm just going to say something. The world is never going to get any better than it is right now, at this point in life, this very moment. The world will never be any better, and it will only progressively get worse. If Jesus is not everything to you, if your relationship with him, you are not sold out, you are not completely all for him, it doesn't matter what you got or what you don't have, it doesn't matter who you are or who you aren't, it doesn't matter where you go or where you stay, none of this stuff matters. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about your relationship with him, no matter what anybody thinks of you. You know, the last 2 years, God has brought all of us on a journey, every single one of us. And it started with him. And I keep saying, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing? Like this, you know, the singing out and worship, which is beautiful. That's the way he made it. Make a joyful noise. That's what he says. He doesn't say learn every single verse and chorus two times and then one verse again and then a chorus. That's not what he said. Make a joyful noise. That's not scripted, people. And it may not look natural, and it may not feel natural, but it is what is after his heart. And I will tell, and he has said many times, if we are being faithful to God and we're standing and it's just the two of us, then I'm going to be faithful to God and do what he says, because he'd rather us be obedient in what he has us doing than to sacrifice anything. He'd rather us be obedient. And you guys, he's asking all of us today, is it about you or is it about me? And at what point are you going to get to where you're sick of you? Because I know I'm sick of me. Sick of me. It's not about me. Amen?
Let's see. Are you here, Glenn? You're here. Can we play a little guitar? See, we didn't do Great is the Lord. Did we do that song? Could we do that song? I think I'd be good. Because he is great. All the time. You know, the thing is that, you know, we can hear messages
every Sunday. For those of us who make church every Sunday, and I pretty much do, miss every now and then. I don't know when the last time was I missed, but the point is we can hear messages, and we heard a message last week and the week before. I've told Gabe before, I can't even remember what I preached last week, much less, you know, remember sometimes what someone else said. As a matter of fact, sometimes that's actually easier. But when we hear a message that challenges us, and I think that is a challenging message for us to decrease and for him to increase. And the thing is that when we decrease, folks, we actually increase. That's the other side of it. As we decrease in who this vessel is, we increase in him. And a greater strength and a greater ability to handle those trials, those struggles that come along, and to be able to have joy in them, to be able to look at the circumstances and not see just the storm, but see the one that actually can control the storm and that it has you in his hands, that you're not, you know, in a place that you can't make it. But as we decrease, we increase at the same time. Not in our own strength, we increase in God, in his strength. And so let's do this song. I don't know exactly which how it starts, but you'll start it. Would you guys stand? Let's just end this with just acknowledging God is great, because he is. And if you guys want to, come on up. You can worship right here at the front with us.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that's broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. Bones will sing. Great. shout your praise. Our hearts will cry these